What we are doing tonight is a practice session for a presentation that the Area 16 Archives has been asked to do at the International Convention. This will be an archive workshop held on Saturday, July the 4th at 1 o'clock, and it will consist of three speakers, each speaker 20 minutes apiece. Now, our assignment basically is the history of our archives, what the collection and how it came about. And Gary, well, has graciously agreed, since he is very experienced at, on the lecture circuit, a very accomplished historian, an accomplished author, and so taking these into consideration, he has been asked to represent Georgia at the International Convention. And with that, I will turn it over to Gary.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Now, you want the clip on the tie and you want that in the pocket, right?
Up a little higher.
There we go. All right. And 20 minutes, so would you believe I actually have a stopwatch? And I am the last speaker of the day, and I won't talk for too long because, again, this is not supposed to last more than 20 minutes. But I'd like to thank John and Damon for allowing me to do this. It's an honor to be representing Georgia for the purposes of archives. And while this is supposed to be a rehearsal for what's going to be happening at the International, what you're really getting is something that's, you know, work in process, because more research is going to go on, and when we learn something new, and there's always something new to learn in this subject, we're going to change things as we start learning anymore. And another thing is that if there's anything that I'm going to say that you think you have better information than I do, write it to archives at aageorgia.org, and I'd absolutely love, to hear it, solicit anything along those lines that you would wish to give me. But now that you're here, I have the pleasure to inform you that I think you're going to hear some things about Georgia AA that virtually no one has heard from. And that, to me, with the research that's been going on, that is, in fact, a gift. Our delegate wanted to come up with a theme this year, the theme being the common welfare through gratitude and action. And as far as a theme goes, is that, when you get involved in archives and start learning about people that have gone before, there's all sorts of reasons for gratitude. Now, one of the most obvious ones, even with International coming up, is John Dee, delegate from 2002 and 2003, of course, was the mover and shaker that got the International here. Of course, he has passed away and not will be able to attend, obviously, but at the same time, he makes a contribution, and the contribution shows up 12 years later as in the result of the International. He is also the mover and shaker that got our archives room created, in which was put in 2003. There's contributors, Neely D was our first delegate, 52 and 53, and she ended up making all sorts of contributions throughout her life, even after she was through being a delegate. Virgil W. Up from Atlanta, he was the fellow that drew the maps that by and large we use to this day, and he's the one that by and large changed us from doing all of our business at the state convention and ended up putting together the service structure that we have now, which incidentally is modeled after California. It is a California model. Now, I can't dispute that, but that's what he said. And, of course, another thing is that, how other states are put together organizationally, I don't have a clue. It's just one of the many things once you get started doing, in this, you can realize how much you really don't know. Another one is Joe P. He was a chair of the first Atlanta Roundup and, of course, was the Southeast Regional Trustee for 4 years. Now, just being in archives, it's very interesting to me because as far as I'm concerned, any of the people that I named would be vastly preferable speakers to me right now. I'd love to hear them if I could, okay? But in many regards, we try to do the best job of representing them, but in many regards, with common gratitude and action, for us, it is trying to keep the message alive and the contributions alive that these people made, which are very significant and from which we are the benefactors to this day. Now, in terms of some of the things that about archives, it's that, you know, here we are talking about 80 years of AA history, but archives as an enterprise, or actually as a service group in AA, is really the new kid on the block. For one reason or another, there hasn't been a whole lot of controversy regarding archives, but I'm going to suggest going forward in the future that is going to be changing. At the moment, at the conference, which goes annually, archives is what's known as a secondary committee. And those people are the delegates that go up there meet and have the archives discussion over dinner on one of the evenings that they happen to be up there. There's going to be more issues as time goes by, which I believe is going to be bringing archives more into a more prominence, not least of which is that we're evolving into where people on the outside of Alcoholics Anonymous are looking at us. And they're finding the report about things that have occurred that relate to AA history. It's really a good idea that we ourselves know, let's say, AA history from AA legend. And we're finding that there are significant differences. Now, one of them is relatively harmless, for example, and that is that, you know, it was Judge Don Gates from California that, oh, excuse me, there we go with last names again, but he was a Superior Court 35 years ago, and he identified that Herbert Spencer never said the contempt prior to investigation. It's one of those things that just kind of lives on, he never said those words. And, of course, the other one that's very well known is, of course, convention that Dr. Bob was supposed to attend in 1935, of course, didn't start until June 10th. So the idea that it was June 10th is our anniversary, all I can say is, do you remember what you did last Memorial Day? you know, we aren't very great on dates, but it's for us to know. There's a variety. I don't have time to go into the number of issues that where we think that it is actually history, but it turns out it isn't. If you're really interested with that, I could talk to you after this happens to be over. The scope of our archives, we are really blessed to have that room. And the types of, while we do get donations, what we're trying to do is keep the focus on what is unique and relative to Georgia history. It particularly applies to written material such as flyers, minutes, activities, meetings, and so on. And we're also interested in a time frame of materials. Obviously, we do like things that are as early as we can get. But they do contain things like the Area 16 official documents, which are Georgia State Service Assembly minutes, committee DCM, office committee meetings, financial statement, new letters, membership directories. It's of interest with the photographic records. If you've ever looked at the Saturday Evening Post up close and personal, there's a big picture of Bill Wilson right in the Saturday Evening Post article of March of 1941. He's not identified, but he happens to be right there along with a number of other people. We have group records, conference approved books. We have a first printing, first edition that is in our correspondence. But we also have letters. Now, this is where the talk that I can give here is going to be a little bit different than the talk that I'm going to be giving in July. And that is that we have a notebook. The notebook was provided to us by letters that were written by a delegate in 1993. This is where the request was, please provide us letters that were originated in Georgia, and that letters that then what was their response to those letters. And we got a book of a couple hundred of these letters, and while the request was made, they sat around for 20 years and nobody looked at them. Now, it was John that got the book into a manageable form that I could look in at, and then once we had the opportunity to make this as a presentation, I started doing the research. One of the things that comes out of it, we owe a huge debt to somebody almost that we've never heard of, and that will be Bobby B. I can't give you the last name, and another one is Charlotte L. Both of these are the women that were working at the GSO starting in 1942. Bobby B. succeeded Ruth Hawk. Ruth Hawk was not an alcoholic. I can use her last name. Bobby B. was a former nightclub dancer in Paris in the 1920s. But when people would be writing from Georgia up to and asking for Bill Wilson, they would be answered by Bobby B. Of the letters that we have, four of the letters come from Bill Wilson, 24 come from Bobby B., and six come from Charlotte L. And you look at these letters that are all dated anywhere from 1942 to 1946, these women did a heck of a job guiding us in Georgia when we were in what it's called sometimes the flying blind period, when there was really no traditions as such, a lot of questions being answered, a lot of controversy, because people really were flying blind. Now, we have these letters, but we're not supposed to have these letters. If you went to the GSO and you asked to look at Georgia history, assuming you asked permission and got clearance ahead of time, you are allowed to look at these letters, but you're not allowed to copy them, nor are you allowed to photograph them. So I can tell you we have that notebook, but I've been told that I am not to say that we have this notebook because the policy has changed. These letters are not to be copied under any set of circumstances. Okay? But we are just fortunate, and that is how we've ended up being able to tell a story that otherwise would be very hard to tell, and I'll get to some of those items that I learned as we go. There are a variety of non-official things that we have, which are the display boards. Nancy D is supposed to be here tomorrow. The boards that you see out in front, she put together. We have six sets of them, and she did one heck of a job. I'm terrible at doing such things, but she's obviously very talented. Of course, we share the history of AA groups in Georgia. We have speaker tapes in both cassette, reel-to-reel, CDs, and now we're getting into MP3s, but it's Damon's our MVP when it comes to getting these reel-to-reel tapes that are in multiple speeds and getting them digitized. And believe me, it's a very laborious task. Very time consuming, and it's an art as much as a science, and there's just a huge backlog. And so in many regards, we're still trying to figure out what we've got, both with reel-to-reel tapes and also with cassettes. Newspaper articles, and a lot of these newspaper articles I know of, but I don't have the articles. Names like Morgan Blake of the Atlanta Journal, Dean DeOves, Pierce Harris, Ernest Rogers. These are all columnists that were writing about Alcoholics Anonymous. Don't have the columns. Want to get them. We have a Celestine Sibley in the Atlanta Journal who wrote an article about us with the title, One Club That Would Be Fun. Jeez. We have the Sunday Ledger Inquirer magazine, Hope for Today's Alcoholics, that we have. That was written in the Sunday Columbus Ledger Inquirer. We also have a Savannah newspaper, R. Fred McClendon, Local Alex Find Help and Hope Through Savannah's AA Organization. We have lots of books that are related to recovery. That's what you see when you walk into the archives, mostly is the books that happen to be there. You know, and then a variety of things, buttons, t-shirts, AA trinkets, chips, a whole mess of things, which you actually when you try to inventory all of this stuff, it's not as simple as you may think. There are, of course, we have a collection of movies. The most recent one is When Love Is Not Enough. The Days of Wine and Roses, and just as a tip, if you have the opportunity to come by Days of Wine and Roses, that's by Cliff Robertson, not Jack Lemmon. That is the done Playhouse 90 in 1958, and it's done live. And it's magnificent that they could pull that off, but that was the original, the actual movie that we know with Jack Lemmon followed 4 years later. But I like the Playhouse 90 version of that. Then we have a modern digitized database, which a lot thanks to Damon. And we also have some technology which allows for remote access to our archives. But then, of course, what we also have with the letters that I'm talking to you about is we are not allowed to put those letters on the remote access because we cannot allow them to be copied, and we can't allow them to be photographed either. Trying to follow the rules of copyright. But here is what our collection contains that you may want to see but didn't know we had. The first AA meeting in Atlanta was held on October 29th, 1940. That's 7 years ahead, 7 months ahead of when we celebrate our anniversary in Atlanta. If you look at page 25 of Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age, Bill W. credits Atlanta to be founded by a fellow by the name of Irwin M., a traveling salesman. And what we did have are meetings in Atlanta, but they didn't stick. And the one guy that ended up, that was left in Atlanta with all the other people traveling, he ended up drunk and in jail. So in April of 1941, when the wife of Sam D., a reverend, an ex-reverend, a defrocked reverend, writes up to New York. The answer from New York is that there is no AA in Atlanta. And so that's why the date of June 12th, 1941 stands. But we do have the letters that Mrs. Sam D. wrote up to New York, and then the corresponding answer. To me, it's fascinating to see the actual results of the Saturday Evening Post. This is it's a real example of what take place. And the Reverend Sam D. was able to attend the first AA meeting in Atlanta because his wife did read the Saturday Evening Post and got a big book and basically stuck it under his nose. He was able to become a minister after that. There's a book out there called The Pulpit in the Bottle, which is not AA-approved literature, but it's a biography that was done by the ancestors of Sam D. It's a very interesting read. Depending upon one's source, there were either 3, 4, or 7 people at that first meeting on June 12th in Atlanta. And very interesting to find, and I didn't know this at all, that Bill Wilson visited Atlanta on or about July 30, 1942. And he spoke at the Atlanta Group, which was then located at 57 and a half Broad Street. Now that was a clubhouse that was founded with help of the Candlers. Atlanta name. This is before we had no outside contributions. Bill Wilson also visited Atlanta on or about May 29th in 1944. Stayed at the home of a member of the Atlanta Group. Atlanta is believed to have had the 5th prison meeting in the country, which began under the direction of Warden Sanford in the mid-1944. The Atlanta Group was forced to move from 57 and a half Broad Street and said to have met at a YMCA, moved to Houston Street, then the building burned to the ground. Then what caused the first split in Atlanta AA was again the issue of outside funding. The Atlanta Group split into two pieces, the North Avenue Group and the Central Group. As a result of that, it's very a lot of that history happens to be in the Atlanta 1941 to 74 booklet, which is up at the Atlanta central office, and which is an excellent history. We have an offering that a jewelry company named Royal Incentives wanted us to all wear lapel pins to mark that we were members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they even referenced Bill Wilson as being recommending, of course, then the letter came down from New York saying, we don't know this guy. But it's another example of how, without traditions, how we end up in different and unforeseen circumstances. A letter dated December 18, 1945. That is a the founder of the LaGrange Group started communicating with us, and the first meeting in LaGrange, Georgia, was January 31st, 1946, followed by its first closed meeting February 12th. Article in the Macon Telegraph has our first meeting in Macon to be May of 1946. That was in the look in We Share. That is actually 8 years earlier than what was in We Share. A letter from Ralph L. announced there's a new meeting in Columbus, Georgia. That was dated August 28th, 1946. That's a good deal earlier than what was in We Share. Our 12 traditions was originally mentioned by 12 points to ensure our future, but that was when it was being formed in 1946. We have a book called The Core of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a forerunner of like the little pocket size, except it has pages 1 through 164, and then it jumps to page 563, and it starts talking about the traditions. And you know, I'm at just about at 20 minutes, but I'll say I can't not leave this out, is that previously I had believed that John F. was the first black member of Atlanta AA, and relying upon oral history, that turns out not to be true. The first blacks sober in AA date from the year before John got sober. That's 1951. This is all as a result of searching through our own archives. First black sober in AA, their names, Buck R., Marshall C., Bill M., and Bill M. Jr. That's in mid-1951. They founded a meeting called the 24-hour group, which lasted for about 12 years, but in 1953, John F. ended up founding a meeting called Easy Does It, which exists to this day. We also have information in our archives that does mention that it is that we did have meetings that were in Chamblee and Doraville, and what we also have are meetings, the colored groups. Okay? That is part of what of who we are. John F. continued to insist that black AA meetings that he attended were open to people of all races. He was about ahead of the curve, and of course he ended up sponsoring Maggie, who was a big player at Biscayne. John F. continued to have much impact on Atlanta AA. We have additionally meetings, which I'm running out of time for, but on the first black meetings which happened to be Jim Story, the author of Jim Story, and that's 1945 in Washington, D.C., and actually also in St. Louis. Our 12th step says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. Please do our come to our Georgia archives to witness the stories of Georgians that did have a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, that carried the message to alcoholics, and that did practice these principles in all our affairs. I'm more than honored to bring you just a brief look at the wonderful gifts of the past and help that bring us together today so we can stay together sober and enjoy this way of life, and what a good deal this is. Thank you very much. I'm 2 minutes over.